the local church my spiritual growth.
Hallelujah.
I intend to have it.
I thought you said you don't normally have it through the years.
Now, I intend teaching us on spiritual growth, and that's what we do. But there's a reason why I have to bring in the local church into it. Remember I told us it's a long series, right? But I'll see how I can break it, if it is possible. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Matthew 28 from verse 18. You know the standard way, the standard, right? Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Mark 16 verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. Say the word." Okay, they will speak with new tongues. What am I missing speaking in new tongues? They will speak with new tongues. So they will take off something. And they will drink any deadly, they shall drink any deadly thing, shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So the number the Lord has spoken to them was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, And they went forth and preached everyone. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24 from verses 45. "And he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He said, thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and the remission of sins were preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of this thing. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, John 21:22, "And he said to them, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye forgive are forgiven, and whosoever ye retain are retained." Hallelujah. Amen. So, this we said will be the closing remark of Jesus within the 40 days, right? Right? Within the 40 days, Jesus taught them. Acts 1, he said he taught them concerning the kingdom of God. So that means Jesus taught them, I hope you are following, he taught them 40 days. And we saw that the closing remark will be an instruction on what they will do. Hallelujah. So that means, permit me to say this, that means the believer's life is a life of instruction. Okay, follow me. The believer's life is a life of instruction. One. So it says, make disciples, preach the gospel. Now we said this will be that instruction, right? So let's go ahead a bit. Now we're going to be this summary of what is some of that instruction captured by the synoptic writers in different form, and we'll say they are the same, right? Did you say that they are the same? It's the same instruction. Go make disciples, the same thing as go preach the gospel. Right? Because when the act of making disciples, you first of all preach the gospel. Right? So that word go make disciples is a word that contains both the entering into discipleship and what happens in discipleship, right? So that is very critical. So they were not saying four different things. No, they were writing the same thing. Something we're going to see as we progress, not in this series, but as we progress in teaching this year. And I'm going to show you how they will now write. They will write like Jesus will teach. They will teach as Jesus will teach. Hallelujah. How would Jesus teach? In Luke 24 verses 25, he says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that have spoken." He says, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory." Hallelujah. He says, "Slow to heart to in believing all the prophets." Now we say that word prophet is the word used for Genesis down to Malachi, right? All the prophets have spoken. So Jesus is telling you that where he's going to be teaching from, or their unbelief is an unbelief towards the gospel, towards the scriptures. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So Luke now says, and what did he now do? In verse 27, he says, beginning at Moses. So Moses becomes the beginning of writing the scriptures. Genesis. The Genesis. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. This is that Genesis down to Malachi. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that means Luke is making us see that Jesus is teaching from Genesis to Malachi. That becomes Jesus' reference book. Are you following me? He becomes his Bible. The Genesis to Malachi in their world was their Bible. Are you following me? In verse 44, he said, "These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses." This is not in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. That is Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus is saying, what I'm teaching you from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. And we brought that something last week. We said Jesus is God. Right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us and we beheld his glory. John 1. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Jesus is God, became a man. Yet, as God became a man, you know you cannot say, now let me just tell you this. I resurrected. I am God. You know he could have said that, right? But no. God himself, in explaining his experience, listen to me, in explaining his experience, had to subject his experience to the words of the prophet. Okay, following me. So Jesus, being God, will explain his experience from scripture. Hallelujah. So that means, that is why, see, I actually corrected someone that was saying Jesus was not educated, he didn't go to school, they're just talking nonsense. And the reason why I had to say that, I was surprised because you can't have been around for my meeting. Once, as you attended special meetings here, and you go out to say nonsense like that. Hallelujah. And I told him, how did he know? He opened, it's part of what we are looking at. He opened John chapter 7 verse 16. Quickly look at that. And I was surprised. And I told him, you can't be getting things like this from scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I was surprised, like, come on. In his head, he said, ha-ha. Ha-ha. Pastor does not do. Look at John 7, 14, 15. Now, about the myth, about the myth of the feast, Jesus went on to the top temple and did what? And the Jews marveled, saying, have no way this man's letter. This is that. Having never learned. Now he uses two words there. A lot of people say, hey, you know, in the school, don't be too quick to jump into conclusions. Hallelujah. I'm not defending whether Jesus went to school or not. I told him, you can't go to scriptures and be looking at that. Hallelujah. Because you know what? What was recorded? They said, you say you when Jesus was crying. Yeah, money, breath. Did you see that in scriptures? But did he do it? He did. Jesus urinated, he urinated. Did he poo-poo? He did. Did he sweat? He sweated. Do you understand? Amen? Did he go to school? Oh, well, not all. Because it was not, it's not important in your spiritual growth. So why do you want to know that? That no, he wasn't lettered. And I laughed. I said, now let's look at the two words used there. It says, being seen that he wasn't there, they marveled, right? Right? Look at that verse 15. It says, marveled saying, how knoweth this man letter? Now that was letter. Because he was trying to prove that Jesus was lent by the Holy Ghost. You see, that is always the mistake people make. You don't go to school and say, God will teach me business. Your business will come. I'm not doubting the supernatural ability, right, of God, but you don't make such statements. I'm not going to lend business, just no business. Even the Santos that lent business, crash. Ask Ethernet, right? Ethernet crash, right? Crash! Hallelujah! Crash! Amen! How much more? You are not crowd shot. Continue. Amen. So he said, he wasn't letter. That's not what letter is, the word grammar. Grammar. What? That word letter there is the word grammar. And grammar is used for a content of a writing, right? In fact, grammar is used for scripture too. Used for a bill, right? Well, you had the bill of the grammar. Now, used for a content of a writing is also used for scriptures, right? If a man will say, no, how knoweth this man letter? Haven't never learned. Now that word learn there is the word mantano. You see that? Haven't never mantano. Now mantano is the word from where you have the word matitin from. Where you have the word matitio from. So that word is a word for discipleship. Okay, following. So that means the question they will have asked him is, see the way he explains scripture. They are not talking about whether he went to school or not. Okay, following this. See the way he explains scripture. They are now asking, how does this man know scripture? Not the content of scripture. See that we can't find him under anywhere. Under anywhere. Any Pharisee, under any scribe and Pharisee. Did you get? How does he know this is this? Because in their day, for you to be called a rabboni, listen, for you to be called a rabbi, you must have been under a rabbi. How do you hear me? How does he know? So they were marveling. So the marveling there was not whether he went to school or not. No, don't miss it. The marveling there is similar to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. They were astonished, for he thought as one having authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. How do you follow me? They don't go get to scripture to begin to look out for something else. Hallelujah. How do you follow me? So the letter there and the mantano there was something about they couldn't find it. Just like Paul would say, he learned under the, on the, I mean, at the feet of who? Gamaliel. How do you follow me? Gamaliel. So don't be like those who, he loves us in the letter. Don't talk nonsense. Hallelujah. Were the apostles silent about that? They were silent. So why are you loud in opening your mouth? See, being a good disciple means you would have to know. I've been speaking out about something lately. I've been saying lately. I said you must draw out a boundary, right? A boundary to your study. Make sure you have a boundary. Don't go overboard saying nonsense. Maybe you don't say one scripture never intended to be said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's even ask the question. Maybe a question. What is it? Is it? Is it there? Keep quiet. Hallelujah. So they say curiosity kills the cat, right? Don't be the cat that curiosity will kill. Hallelujah. So where were we? They go back to my church again. Okay. Okay, where were we? So Jesus will have to explain his experience. Jesus is God, and God has to explain his experience from scriptures. Hope you are following me. So that means God restricted himself to the 39 books. Now this is what we call, I said, this one is not in the scriptures. I heard it directly from God. But when I taught you that, I said, when you hear someone tell you, the Lord taught me in a vision, just walk. You know what? Walk. That's not the point to argue. Because you will be tagged the first prophet. Just walk. Don't listen. What are you hearing me? Because you know what will come out next. What will come out next will be jargon. I'm telling you because I have witnessed it from several people. So the Lord told me that you know, another way they'll tell you that the Holy Ghost is the master of the scripture. The Holy Ghost is the master of scripture. So therefore, when the Holy Ghost, now I didn't hear it from men, I heard it from the Holy Ghost. Hear the explanation, just last tell me, you will run. You say, if the Holy Ghost tell you this one, I better pass the Holy Ghost. Amen? Come on! Jesus is God, and he read from the 39 books. Who are you? Now you are saying, no, my own answer is not in 39 books. No, the greater than Moses is here. The greater, you can say the greater than Jesus too is here. But Jesus had to use Moses' words. Let's continue. Amen. Glory to God. So, very important. So it becomes very important for us too. So, we must have that boundary to our study. The scripture. So Jesus did the same. So what would Jesus do? Jesus would then, when you say Jesus read from the 39 books, it means that the instructions you have there are instructions of the 39 books, right? And the instructions were given to man. So that means that instructions, you go to the 39 books, which is Genesis down to Malachi, you'll find that instructions there, and that will be instructions of the scriptures, and you'll find it amongst men, or given to men. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:26 is the same instruction, right? Genesis 1:28 rather, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Be fruitful, multiply doesn't mean you have 10 wives and giving birth to children like football teams. No. Be fruitful and multiply the earth is discipleship. Hallelujah. So that means you find man who is God's masterpiece carrying out God's task in the earth. That's why God will use man. He will use Noah to talk to the people. He will use Enoch, right? He will use men. He will use Abel. He will use Abraham. Hope you are following me. So God always uses man. He will use Moses to deliver the children of Israel and to give them Genesis, right? To teach them Genesis, God's oracle to an Exodus audience. Very vital. Hope you are hearing me. Very vital. Okay, let's go further a bit. So we say man is God's masterpiece. So when he said Jesus will use, when he said Jesus will read from chapter 9, it means Jesus will use words from chapter 9. But Jesus will use words the way Genesis to Malachi will use words. Alright, follow me. Jesus will use words the way Genesis to Malachi will use words. He will not use words in his days. Because in his days, listen, in the days of Jesus, language had evolved. Language had evolved. Right? So Jesus will not use words in his days. In fact, in the days of Jesus, he used what is called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. So Jesus would use the Septuagint and also use the Hebrew Bible. So that means Jesus will have to go back to reread it again. Hallelujah! Because at the point of translation, several times, most of times, words lose their meaning. Right? Words you lose their meaning. We saw an example. We saw an example where the word redeemed. Now when you use the word redeemed in the Greek, is the word apolotrosis, is the word lutrosis, is the word lutron, is the word apolotron. Right? Those are words used for redeemed in the chapter 9, in Matthew down to Revelation, right? Now, those words used is gotten from the Hebrew word gal, redeemed. Now, the Hebrew word gal is a word used for a kinsman redeemer, one who stands as a next of kin. Now, when you hear the word apolotron or lutrosis or apolotrosis, it's due to how you buy something from the market. So, you know, when God said, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, that I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. Now, God is using the word gal. It's used for a king, next of kings. Like when a next of king comes in, right? A next of king. One who stands in for. Now when you get to the Greek, that word next of king was not really in existence in their days. So what did they use? They don't use lutrosis, apolotrosis. Apolotrosis means how you buy things in the market. Now today they have to read that in scripture. Somebody will say, what did Jesus pay? Right? Because you use the word apolotrosis, how you buy something from the marketplace. They say, oh, Jesus paid the price. Why will price come in? Price will come in because of apolotrosis. The other follower is, he will come in because of lutrosis. Oh, Jesus paid the price. Now the question will not be, who did he pay the price to? So I say, he paid it to the devil. Wow, why would Jesus pay something to the devil? Okay, no. Jesus can't pay to the devil. Okay, Jesus paid it to God. Eh? Did God hold you ransom? Was God holding you hostage? Oh, so who did not pay the price to? Oh, we don't know. Okay, he paid the price as a demand of justice. Justice for what? Did you see? You are not misreading it because at the point of translation in their world, you are reading that word apolotrosis in your world today when you go to buy something in the market. But what would you do? You have to go back again, right? Like Jesus would do. He will go back to the original Hebrew, look at the Septuagint, and he will use the word redeem. Now the word redeem, why would they call use apolotrosis? Because in their world, why translating? Okay, listen to me. Why translating the word God was not existent in the Greek at that point. Hallelujah. So they will not look at why, what is the work of a kinsman redeemer or a kinsman is one that stands in for. So when God went into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, come on, listen to me. Did he pay any price to Pharaoh? No. Are you following me? He paid no price to Pharaoh. He didn't pay the price for anything. So he came in as a next of kings. Remember, he said to Moses to tell Pharaoh, he said, Israel is my firstborn. Hallelujah. So use the word firstborn. My model. Hope you are following me. So I want you to look at this critical. So God comes in as the next of kings, one who stands in for, and he delivered his people. Glory to God. So if that word was not being used as apolotrosis, was because of the fact that what God did shows value. Because God valued his covenant he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said is. That is value. Okay, for them, it shows value. So in their world, you now ask, what shows value? So in the world of Jesus, in the Greek, what shows value is money. Money shows value. Price. What do you pay? Shows value. So I like this slave. So I pay for the slave to have it. So the price I'm paying is the worth of the slave. Hope you're following me. So it's called apolotrosis. Hope you're following that. So because of value, it was not translated as apolotrosis. But if you now read it in our world today, you think God paid something to the devil. No! Hope you're following me. So that means Jesus will have to do something. What will he do? He will have to employ a system of reading which is called diamenio. Luke 24:27. It says, he began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded diamenio. Diamenio means he will have to go back again and interpret their language. Hallelujah. You have to go back again and interpret the language. We saw something last week. That is the use of the word predestination. Hallelujah. Predestination. Where if you look at predestination, they say God has predestined everything that will happen. God knows who is going to go to hellfire. God knows who is going to go to heaven. God knows who is going to die. When you are going to die. How you are going to die. The place is going to die. In the air, in the sea, in the water, on the rain, everywhere. God knows everything. And there's nothing you can do about it. No. Hallelujah. Because the word predestination was never used in their word. In fact, in the word of Moses, in the word of Moses, in the word of Paul, there was nothing like predestination. Okay, following me. There was nothing like that. So they never used anything called predestination. So the question will now be, how did we have it then? They will have to go back again and reread, right? Did we read that last week? We read and we saw that no. God, what God has is a pre-plan, right? And we say, can that pre-plan fail? It can fail. Hallelujah. Say, God's plan, can it fail? It can fail. Because he needs your consent, right? To flow in God's plan. Hallelujah. Hope you understood that last week. Okay. Now let's go further today. So we say Jesus will have to reread and he will employ the word diamenio. Right? Diamenio. Now diamenio will be, tomorrow we're having a teaching meeting by 1 p.m. here. So be prepared. Answering today's question from the scripture. I want to answer a lot of questions from the scripture. We're going to look at it critically. So by 1 p.m., just 15 minutes after. Message as I said, go further a bit. Amen. So how do you use the word diamenio? I'm getting prepared for tomorrow with what I'm doing today. Amen. So how do you use the word diamenio? Now, that word diamenio, as I said, is a word used from two words, dia and hemenes. Now, dia means how you cut through. And is it from a compound word rather. Hemenes is used for a chief interpreter, a translator. Am I too fast? Eh? No, I can't say. A translator. I guess I'm going over what we've done last week. A translator. So that means, diamenio means to translate a language. Translate a language. And the golden rule for language translation is this. Here's the golden rule. I'm going to give you two. One. A word can never mean today what it never meant when it was written. It's a golden rule. That means if you say, I'm going to look at something. You will look at something tomorrow. Let me not rush it today. Hallelujah. Like the use of the word Satanos. They say, you are a Satan. They say, hey, God forbid. I reject it. I can't stand by to the sender, to the sender. No. Hallelujah. We're going to see that even God was called Satanos. So Satanos is not a person. Well, no, Satanos though a person, but the verb would describe the person, right? The verb is used for as an opposition. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So you're going to look at words. So most times, the reason for people running into some unnecessary conclusions will be one. Maybe lack of diligent study. Right? Lack of diligent study. I said something yesterday concerning angels. I said the reason that reinforced me to also speak about angels years back was because of what I heard from a renowned man of God saying an angel can get in your ear. That was the height of it. Say, be careful! If not, an angel will just blind you. Man of God! I said, no, I'm going to teach this. Hallelujah! And thank God for someone like, thank God for E.W. Kenyon, for Pastor Shego Anointa, a series of materials available on Living Word Media for download. Very serious. Just go and download So Great Salvation. And I'm telling you, go and download it. So Great Salvation and Law in Genesis. I'm not telling you the series, so you don't jump. Because now your pastor started from series 1. It's something charged. The 2 hour. 2 hour 30 minutes. There was one. There was one like that, like six. There was 4 hours. I said, yes! But I jumped. Amen. I jumped. Amen. I guess Law in Genesis series 1 is about 56. You're not mistaken. Our spirit 7. God bless you. Amen. So I'm not giving you anything. Amen. So there is diligence. Hallelujah. Yeah. I did it to my pastor's message. So you listen to your pastor's message. I cannot stay there without listening to my pastor. I cannot stay there without listening to Pastor Shaggy. Not possible. A day. Not possible. Matter how I play, how I do it, I will be stupid. Not possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't like doing community reading. I mean listening. I listen to him. Amen. You know, you call community listening. Four people sit down. Let's listen. Where will you go? So where are we? Where are we? Okay, use of words, right? So, Diamenio, I say I'm giving you two golden principles, right? One is, a word will never mean today. What it never meant was when it was written. So, if you read Paul, and when Paul said, my old man was crucified, and you think, I know who Paul thought that is. Yeah, reading today into, yes, you know, you read yesterday, which is scriptures into your world, right? So, Jesus' use of the word water. You know, they came to meet him. And they said, Master, there is no wine. They have no wine. And Jesus said, what was Jesus' response was to concur that man was without the new wine. And the new wine is the Spirit. So how Jesus will use the wine will not be for drinking. We'll use the wine for the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. That means man will receive the new wine in the marriage. So he did that in the marriage. So in the marriage when the man gets saved, he receives the new wine. Hope you are following that. Go to God. So the woman came to meet him. He asked the woman, give me water. And they said, how will I give you water, Mr. Samaritan? Jesus said, if you know the water that I give you, it has spring forth in you unto eternal life, everlasting life. So Jesus' use of water will be how Moses will use water. So he will restrict his use of words to how words are used in the 39 books. Hope you're following me. So a word will never mean today when it never meant when it was written. Hallelujah. So don't read today into the scriptures. Read the scriptures into today. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to read scriptures into today. And we are going to use some scriptures to answer all. We cannot complete this tomorrow though. But we'll answer questions as regards to our deity. Hallelujah. Questions like, is homosexuality a sin? Explain. Because you can't see. Hallelujah. But we can answer it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are some things that in your head you know is very easy to answer. But I are showing from scriptures. You don't know how to show it. Amen. Is it a sin to eat salad? is not the same, that is. Now we might see the definition tomorrow.
That's very funny.
But don't ever come and ask me that question.
But it shows you are not the student of your pastor.
Amen. Because I'm not going to answer that. Amen. Because it's scripture. Go and read 1 Corinthians. We read the book of Corinth. Right? Go and listen to that message. I guess I mentioned a bit about that there. Hallelujah. Okay. So the second rule is you have to sit in the seat of the first audience when they hear the word. And use the word the way they will use it. Hallelujah. So you have to sit in the seat of the first audience. And in sitting in the seat of the first audience, you have to understand what was happening in their world. What was the language of their day like? How did they write? Right? How did they write? What was the language of their day? How did they write? How did they use words? Right? How did they use words? Now when you know how they use words, you now, first of all, so that means when you sit in the seat of the first audience, that means you have to first of all interpret those words first in their world. Hallelujah. Interpret it first in their world. They now bring it into your world today. Hallelujah. So, you don't go to scripture and say, I'm reading Psalm 35. No! Read it first in their world. Hallelujah. Interpret it first in their language, in their world. Then don't bring it into your world and see it in your world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, first of all, interpret it in their world and apply it to your world today. Hallelujah. Because if you don't know the interpretation in their world first, you will misinterpret it and apply it. So the reason for wrong application of scripture is because there was a lack of proper interpretation of scripture. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's get back to Matthew 28. They go make disciples. I was about to look at election, but they go to election. Just like last week, we didn't enter into our topic. I'm not enter again. Hallelujah. So I look for a while, a time to talk about election. Amen. When I talk about election, I'm not talking about PDP and APC. No, I'm talking about the election. Some of you might never encounter, might not have encountered some words like that, but you know, with time, you are growing up, right? Sometimes, some of you, maybe in another 2, 3, 4 years, you hear people talk about it, but they say, oh, my pastor has taught me. And so you know, there's nothing like that. Okay, so some people see, so there's this saying that some people are elected of God. Some people are chosen. I mean, people say, I became a pastor for my mother's womb. That's nonsense. Amen? You can't be born again in your mother's womb. Can't be. Amen? Even Jesus had to be baptized. Amen? Glory to God. So stop saying nonsense. Amen. So let that word make disciples, right? Now we say in that background of that word make disciples, the word matitio in the Greek. That's the word used for how you enroll one into a system of learning. How you enroll one, I have something in my notes. I say, how you, okay. Is this for how you enroll one into a system of learning? Where that one is grown from a toddler to becoming a scholar. When you enroll one in the standard of learning, that one becomes a scholar. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. So, let's go ahead a bit. So, at the background, you have the word a gathering, right? When you hear the word matitio, how you enroll one into a school. So you have a gathering in the background, right? Right? So the gathering is intended. So if the gathering is not, so when you say go make disciples, so that gathering is intended. So what Jesus is saying is go and have gathering. Right? Make men disciples. And in making them schooling men, you have to gather. The gathering, so to say the life of the believer is a life of instruction, it doesn't mean that the gathering is an instruction. It's an instruction for the new birth. Or it's an instruction in the new birth. Amen? is an instruction we receive, the gathering. Now let's run through the book of Acts. Let's run through the book of Acts. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Let's see what happens. Are you with me? Acts 2, 41. And then I'm going to read. It says, and when then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. They were doing, what was added to them? So where was he added to? The gathering. Hope you're following me. Was added to the gathering. Hallelujah. So they won souls to their gathering. Like, are you hearing me? They won souls to their gathering. Before that, let's look at Acts 1:13. Before Acts, look at Acts 1:13. Is that when they come in, after Jesus was taken out of their sight, when they came in, they went into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James and the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. All these continued in one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They continued in one accord. So that means when they say they continued in one accord, meaning they were together. Was that a gathering? That is a gathering. That is the gathering. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. Chapter 2 verse 1. Hope you are following me. Chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost were fully come, they were in one accord in one place. So the gathering sometimes will mean you'll be, when is a gathering, you will be in a particular location. Hallelujah. Specific, not online. So the gathering will mean a physical gathering. Hope you are following me. A physical gathering. In Acts 5, verses 14, he said, and the believers, look at verses 4, verse 12 to 14. He said, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. Do you see that? So that is their meeting venue, Solomon's porch. Do you see that? Where's their meeting venue? Like you say, St. Pavilion Church is in Penac, right? That was that guy in verse 30. And of the rest thus, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14. And believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Did you see that? Multitudes was added. So when it says they were added to the Lord, it means they were added to their gathering. Did you see that? Added to their what? Gathering. Chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God, when they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem what? Greatly. Did you see that? So when it said the numbers of the disciples multiplied, that is the same word multitudes. So when you have the word multitudes, it means there's a multitude and there's a gathering. Hope you're following me. Right? Because, hope you're following that. When you hear the word multitudes, a disciple, it means that there is a school, right? There is a multitude, which in the background is a gathering. That means, listen to me, it means when you hear the word disciples multiply, we have the gathering in the background. Implies their numbers increase. Their gathering increase. Or you put their church number increase, right? Their church increase. Hallelujah. In Acts 8, they now have to have a branch. Like Dr. Mu branch. Hallelujah. Acts 8:14. And when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria has received the word, they sent to them Peter and John. Did you see that? Samaria. So they had a branch in Samaria. So that means there was a gathering. When he said Samaria has received the word, he's not saying everybody in Samaria. It means that what brethren have been, they are now brethren in Samaria that believe. Oh, they are following me. They are now brethren in Samaria that believe. Glory to God. Hope they are following me. So they had a branch. In Acts 9 verse 32. And when it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down to the saints which dwell in Lydda. So he came to the saints which dwell in Lydda. So when you use the word thing that dwell in leader, is that a gathering? Is that a gathering? So they are, now means they were gathering in leader. In leader. I hope you are following that. Eh? So the church is growing. Hallelujah. The church is growing. In Acts 8:1, the Bible says the disciples were scattered abroad. So they went everywhere. Everyone went and preached the gospel. So church is now growing. Hallelujah. So they now have saints in leader gathering. Look at verses 38, sorry. And for as much as leader was nigh to Joppa, the disciple heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter rose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper chambers. The widow stood by him weeping, and showing the coat and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth, kneel down and pray, turning him into the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave their hands and lifted her up, and he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Did you see that? And they started many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Hallelujah. Are we following this? So, was there a church in Joppa where Tabitha was a worker? Right? Haha. Glory to God. So they had a gathering there also. We will go on and on. Look at chapter 13. Oh, sorry, before 13, chapter 12. There was a church in the house of John Mark. Chapter 12, verse 5. It says, therefore, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him. For him. Did you see that? For him. So there was a church in that location. Actually, the church had their fellowship meeting in John Mark's house. Hallelujah. Verse 12. It says, and when he had considered the things, he came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and they gathered when many gathered together praying.
Hallelujah.
They had fellowship between them. In Acts 13, verse 1, so you can see where we are going from chapter to chapter. And we are seeing that there's gathering. Hallelujah. Now, when they were in the church that was in Antioch, so there was a church in Antioch. Did you see that? There was a gathering in Antioch. A church in answer. So like that. Oh, you are following me. Hallelujah. So you could say, in almost every chapter in the book of Acts, you will find the gathering, and it was clear what God did or does is through the gathering of believers. There was everything there. Hallelujah. God carries out his work via the gathering of believers. How did the church of Samaria started? They started from the church in Jerusalem. This is that? Acts 1:8. You will receive power. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be witness unto me in Jerusalem. Right? Right? So there's a starting point. In Judea, in Samaria, to the uppermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. So that means they started. So the church in Jerusalem grew. Now had Samaria, Lydia, and such like that, God's growing. Hallelujah. Ephesus. Alright? Like that. So, and they were all gathering. So that means, listen, when they somebody grew the word of God and prevailed, what do you think happened? Would you say in Ephesus, that means they had many numbers of men saved, right? And they were added to the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So somebody grew the word of God doesn't mean everywhere they were not playing Christian messages. No. Somebody grew the word of God means it will be seen in the lives of men being saved. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you somebody grew the word of God, he's not talking about putting out media everywhere. Everywhere you see Christian message, Christian song. No! He's talking about the lives of men. Hallelujah. Men surrendering it all for the gospel. Men surrendering it all and what? Accepting the gospel. That is mightily grew the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So mightily grew the word of God, so that many men were saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So that is how God carries out his fast in the earth will be through the local church. I've not jumped to local church, but through the gathering. Let's start from there. I don't think it's poco a poco. Amen? Through the gathering. Through the gathering. So the gathering is God's plan. So when it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. So when it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it will be, how will God fill the whole earth? Here the gathering. Go make disciples. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So most times when you hear people, don't join people to say nonsense. Like, there are churches everywhere. And you put your hand through the window, you find church. What do you want to find? Clubhouse? Or Man U fans? You only find two things in every location. Chelsea Clubhouse. Go. First of all, the church and Chelsea Clubhouse. That's the only thing I said to you. Hallelujah. There you go. When you find mine, you know Satan dwells in that place. When you find Arsenal, you know there are a lot of weapons. Hallelujah. So that means there are cultists in that place. Amen. There you go. Hallelujah. When you find Barcelona, you know that there are a lot of broke guys there. So you have to bring in business. There you go. When you find people like when you find Liverpool, so you know a man that has derailed. A man who is not with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they are always working alone. Yet they are having a confession. So you go to them with the word that they will never work alone. Hallelujah. Which of them is it? Huh? Is it Lester? They are foxes already. What do you do to foxes? That tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. Amen. Which of them is it? What do you call him, Adi? That's fucking time to say. Amen. So, where were we? So, what do you want to see again? It's everywhere, church, everywhere, church, everywhere, church. What do you want this? You want mocks everywhere. So, alright. It's church now. Hallelujah. Because that is how, you see, when people begin to say such kind of dirty words, everywhere, church, 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 they don't know God's plan. Amen. Amen. We are sure that the listen, that in a few years from now, no plenty more, as in a few years from now, we'll have churches teaching the scriptures correctly everywhere. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you something. No one church can do God's work in the whole earth. No single one does. Amen? 10 pavilion alone cannot do it. Hallelujah. So, you saw that you begin to doubt your mind, or, you know, people see all that and say, can you just keep your mouth shut? But if you begin to do that, you don't know God's plan in the whole earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I see many more local churches planted, teaching the gospel, interpreting scriptures correctly, and their venues are to the extreme. Their venues are packed out with souls. And it will happen. Hallelujah. On Sunday like this, the whole street will be empty. Where are they? Where are people? Have rapture taking place? No, they are in church. You don't find boys on Sunday playing ball in the morning. Why is the whole street quiet? What is happening? Everybody is in church. That is what God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And we see that happening. We see it happening in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So when I get that to Matthew 28, so when Jesus said, make disciples, we said, at the background you'll find the local church, you'll find a garden. Let's see Jesus' commentary about the garden. Right? Let's see his commentary about the garden. Okay. Matthew 18. So Jesus is talking about an erring brother. A brother who has erred. An erring brother. Matthew 18. Verses 18. Is it? Verses 17. It says, he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, tell him, let him be to you as a heathen, a man, and a republican. Look at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Do you see that? Now when he said, tell it to the church in verse 17, that word church there is the word synagogue, referring to a gathering, the leadership of a gathering. It doesn't mean that because Sister Salome has offended Brother Chukwu, Chukwu now come to the center of the church. Everybody praise the Lord though. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Bible says if any brother has offended us, let us say it out. So I want to actually talk about a sister here today. Sister Salome is her name. She offended me last 2 weeks. I've gone to meet her with Brother Kenneth and Apostle Tim Bastos, and she did not accept. So I said, she come and tell it to the Church of God. Church of God, please help me. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. What is Jesus talking about? It says, tell it to the leadership of the church. Hallelujah. So that means, listen, something will look at, okay, next week I will not be around. Well, something will look at next time will be the leadership in the local church. But let's establish the fact, what is the local church? Hallelujah. So I said, we have a lot to look at. Hallelujah. So make sure you go back again and listen to the message, the local church and me. Hallelujah. Listen to that message again and again. Glory to God. Because there are a lot of things I will not say that are there. But I would think I would have it in mind that you know it. Amen. Hallelujah. So that will become, remember I told you we are sitting in building blocks. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. And it says, but that's what we are gathered. He said, there am I, in my name. Now, when you use the word in my name, it's the word for in my authority. In my authority. In my name will be in my authority. So, when two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. So, Jesus is talking about a physical gathering. That they will gather in my name. They will gather with my authority. So that means, listen, he calls it a gathering. Now, let's see something else he says before now concerning the gathering. Right? He makes another commentary before now concerning the gathering. Now will be in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, are you there? Verses 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man? And they said, some said thou art John the Baptist. You know, that can be very stupid. You know, that is a very funny answer. Say it again. That thou art John the Baptist. That can say it's John the Baptist. This Baptist just died some few weeks ago. So you are John the Baptist. How can you say that? That was careless stupid. But let's continue. There's some Elias and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when you use the word church there, is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Hallelujah. Ecclesia is to call out. Actually, it's to call out to a purpose. To call out to a gathering. Now, it's a call out. Listen, look up everybody. Ecclesia means the way you call somebody out to gather for a purpose. That's Ecclesia. How you call somebody, right? Right? You call people out, bring people out, and they gather for a purpose. In fact, it's used for how the people leave their houses to go for meetings. So when he said, when Jesus said, I will build my church, it means that there were other churches, there were other ecclesias. Now, not necessarily for worship alone, but for other things. Hallelujah. They had several ecclesias. Several ecclesias. They said, no, I will build my own called out one. Hallelujah. I will build my church. My own. Hallelujah. He said, and the gate of hell. Now when Jesus said the gate of hell, he was referring to what? Resurrection, right? The gate of hell, the place of the dead. Hallelujah. In fact, the gate of hell refers to death, right? And gate of hell is used for a particular location. You know, it's used for a particular, there's a place where, there's a place in Jerusalem, I mean in Israel, or put in Jerusalem that is called the gate of hell. It's actually where even he was there. When he was speaking, he was in the gate of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Just like I'm talking to you and I said, see, I will build my church and Astro Rock will not be here. You know that? It was a place that they know that place. So where was that place? It was in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was where Caesar said he is God. He is the Lord. Okay, follow me. Caesar was called the Lord. So that was why, listen, so Jesus asked that question deliberately. He came there, now I'm going to teach you that in a couple of months to come, how Jesus will read scripture. He will use, remember he got to the temple. He got to the temple, he was in the temple. Now he wants to talk about his body as the temple. So he made sure he spoke about it when he got to the temple. That's how you read it in their world. In their world, you go to... So that was why I said places, geography, genealogy is theology. You get theology from genealogy, from geography. Hallelujah. In scripture. Hallelujah. So that's how they do. Remember I showed you that the, what was I talking about? The garden. Was it the garden I spoke about yesterday? The answer. Was it the garden I asked of? Was it the garden of Eden I asked of? Was it then? Okay, but Eden asked of yesterday. Okay, that you answered. That was either, is either the presence of God or a known place. Right? And we said Eden was used symbolically as God's presence when Moses wrote. But Eden was a known place to the children of Israel. It was a known place, they knew it was a physical place that they could point. So Moses now used it to write. That was how they write, that's why you have to speak in their speech. If not, you will misread it. Hallelujah. Okay, follow. So Jesus will get to John 2. Now, he didn't talk about the wine until he got to the wedding in Canaan. And he talked about the wine. Hallelujah. The mother asked him, and he said to the mother, my hour has not yet come. He said, it's hour for miracle. It was an hour for the resurrection, because it was in the resurrection man will receive the new wine. Right? So that means to say, in the resurrection, what will you find in the resurrection? The marriage feast. He waited for that time. So what is the marriage? The union of God and man. That is when man will now receive the new wine. He will therefore. So Jesus will use event, location, and theology to teach theology. Okay, follow me. So then again, he went up. After that, look at what happened. Just watch this. He was in that same John 2, wedding at Cana. The next place you find him where? He's in the temple. Hallelujah. From the wedding, you're found in the temple. Now he got to the temple. He saw what they were doing in the temple. He scattered it. It was deliberate. So they gathered. What? He now said to them, destroy this temple. Now, look at what he did. He said, destroy this temple. He was not talking to himself. He said, and I will build it in 3 days. And he said, how dare you? Our father took years to build this thing. And he said, you, one man, you don't even have care. You don't have 6 packs. Like this. He said, you will build it up in 3 days. Who are you? Not many men did it. Not many who died. You know, they got offended. Right? Even the disciples that say, "Our master come." You know, the disciples didn't understand until he resurrected. Read verse 19. Bible says it was at the resurrection they now knew he spoke about the temple of his body. It's not that they even knew by no, Jesus told them. You know, when Jesus resurrected, I was there, he told them. See, when I spoke about the temple, I was talking about my body. Say, He said, ah! Yay! So that was what you meant. We thought you were going to scatter it all over us and then we did for more work. Did you get? Remember when Jesus was saying, you're like, Peter, what do I want to give us for who? Go and tell him. I cannot do for God. I'm a fisherman, no? Why am I to say, no. I'm a tax collector. What is my mom? Who would they say in the street? What would they say on day? That we are following Pastor Smart and we're not doing for power. They miss it. All of them did. All of them did. Hallelujah. Look at John 2:19. This is my notebook. I'm just showing you. Hallelujah. John 2, are you there? Look at verse 19. Are you in verse 19? Jesus said, after I said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Right? Verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believed the scriptures which Jesus had. And the word which Jesus had said. Is that? And they remember. How would you remember? I'm going to show you that. How would they remember? They remember because they were now taught. You see that came to, you know what Jesus was doing? He was explaining his experience. Right? From the scripture. And he said, remember when I said it? He said, yes. He said, that was what I was explaining to. He said, wow. But tell me about the body, the temple of his body. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. He got to, look at that place again, got to the woman at the Samaritan woman. He said, no, our father told us upon this mountain that we worship. What did Jesus say? He pointed to the mountain. He said, a day is coming. We will never worship in this mountain or death. You see that? Amen? So he will use physical places to start. He was in Mount Moriah. Listen, Mount Moriah was where Abraham wanted to sacrifice Isaac. On that same mountain, Jesus went there and was sitting. And the Pharisees were there. So he now said to them, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But he saw what to them before Abraham was, I existed. Hallelujah. That's not the word I existed. Take that out. Literally, before Abraham was, I am. Know what it means? He's telling them that I am the God of Abraham. Because the word I am is a proper name used for God. Right? So before Abraham was, I am. So he's trying to say, I am the God that Abraham worshipped on this mountain. And they say, who are you? You see, he was not talking about age when they wanted to stone him. But not age. They have dealt with age. Read that scripture again. In John 8, they've dealt with it. Now Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning, I am the God of Abraham. They were like, who is this guy? That's Enoch went for that. Right? And I said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. Where? On Mount Moriah. And Jesus was there. So Jesus will always use geography to talk about theology. Amen. Hope you are following what I'm teaching you. Then, when you get to Matthew 15, now when you go to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that is where Caesar is called Lord. Caesar is called Lord. Lord Caesar. So Jesus said, who do men say that I am? You are the Peter now said, thou art the Christ, the Christos, the Son of the Living God. That was counter. So what was Jesus driving at? He's trying to let them see. Caesar is not Lord. I am Lord. Okay, follow you. So that place, God said absolutely, is otherwise known as the gate of hell. He was around there. Known, all of them know is a slogan. Ah, that place, gate of hell. The place of Lord Caesar. Gate of hell. Hallelujah. So gate of hell is used for that place and is used for the place of the dead. So is God the gate of hell? Because if you pass out, you get pass out. You know what it means? You do anyhow, you see anyhow. It's the place of the dead. Hallelujah. So it has two implications. So Jesus said the gate of hell, referring to his death, is burial and resurrection, right? And then was also a counter narrative to that gate. Right? Meaning it's trying to say the armies of Caesar will not be able to stop me from resurrecting. Did they try? They did. Did they put a stone? They did. But they still rolled away. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. You know ministry of angels? Glory to God. Throw the way. Hallelujah. The guards that were there, did the angels kill the guards? What happened to the guards? They slept. Ministry of angels. Angels don't kill. Are we following that? Okay. So he got to that court of Caesar Philippi and said, who do men say that I am? And Isaiah said, you are the Christ. Then upon this rock I'll build my church and the gate of hell. So he went to his death bearer, right? So he's dead. He says that his death will not hold me bound. Right? So in the resurrection, what do we have? What do we have in the resurrection? The church. That means the church was born from the resurrection. The church was born from the place of the dead. When Christ died, in the resurrection we had the church. Hallelujah. So who is the church? Who is the church? A lot of people say, I am the church. Can't you see? Can't you see? I'm the church of Christ. Can't you see? I'm the church of Christ. You one church. No. Amen. That is hell. Hallelujah. So you are not the church of Christ. Amen. When Jesus resurrected, that is the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He found his church. That means, remember before when he made that statement, he said, I will upon this rock, and the rock was referring to who? Himself. The truth about what Peter has said, which is, on this rock I will build, which is, you are the Christ. So, listen, the church was founded on that truth, right? I being the Christ, I being the Messiah, the Mashiach. Say, I'll build my church on this revelation, on this truth, and the gate of hell will not prevail. That I am the Lord. This is that. So I say, I am the Lord, the gate of hell cannot prevail. What am I going to do? I'll build my garden. I'll build my call out one. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, we have the church. Christ is the church. That's why Paul in Ephesians 1. Come on. Watch Ephesians 1. Hope you are following how I'm teaching you. So, Ephesians. Are you there? Chapter 1. But I begin to round up now. Verses 21. The power above his violence and power dominion and everything that is not that is what is going to come. And has given all things and put all things under his feet and gave him to be the what? Head over all things to the church. So, which is his body. The fullness of it and filleth all in all. So, listen. So the church is here. Is actually referring to our union with him. So the church is our union with him. So he says he is the head, right? The head. Now the word head there doesn't mean, don't picture it like a body. I've told you this, don't put it like a body. Just is the head. I am his hand. I am his leg. Keep quiet. Follow the use that as a figure, not for you to start thinking about it. Hallelujah. It was a figure. Head is used for a source. Hallelujah. Head is the source. So Jesus is the source of his body, right? the source. Don't look at body like so much. No. Hallelujah. Because I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the belly more of his ear. You don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah.
You're
enough. Amen. So, now Jesus is the church. Right? He's the head of the church. Now when he says I'll build my called out ones. Right? So that means in the resurrection what we'll have is what? The church. Right? So how does a man become a member of God, of Christ's church? Now we use the word the member. When Paul used the word church there, in Ephesians 1, he was referring to our collective union with Christ. Okay, following? Our collective union with him is called church. So, and how do I become a member of his body? By believing, right? When a man believes, he's a member of your body. Hallelujah. So, in as much as this is our union together with him, our union with him together is called church. He therefore now went forward. I'm not talking about the physical gathering. That because of this union, and as they went two or more, are gathered together in my name, in my authority. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. So that means there's not a gathering, a physical gathering, that is born because of our gathering together with him in the new birth. Okay, following me. So when Jesus uses the word church or gathering, remember we say he was always reading from where? The chapter 9 book. So we have to go back again and look at where we have a gathering. Right? That means Jesus was reading from somewhere. Hallelujah. He was reading from somewhere. Hallelujah. So we're going to go back now. And I said, where was he reading from? So that means whatever thing he's talking about the church. Eh? Whatever he's talking about the church, he was reading it from the chapter 9 book. And we're going to go back to see. Hallelujah. Before we close, let's see what Stephen will say in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. Run with me there. Okay, are you there? Acts 7, are you there? Verses 38. It says, okay, 37. So this is Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto thee of your brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hear. Say, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in Mount Sinai. And our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Did you see that? This was he who was in the church in the wilderness. So that means, when you hear church, your mind goes back to what? The Exodus. Hallelujah. Your mind goes back to where? Go back to where? The Exodus. That means there was a gathering in the wilderness. It's called church. So why were they called church? They were called out. Right? From where? Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is from the called out of darkness to light. So in the wilderness, where they work together is called church. Gathering. Hallelujah. That means we can read gathering from there. Hallelujah. We are reading gathering. So when the apostles, when Paul writes about the gathering, writes concerning the gathering, you will see he will be writing from there. When he was to rebuke them in 1 Corinthians, where did he rebuke them from? The wilderness experience, right? 1 Corinthians said he rebuked them with the wilderness experience. Why? Because he was using that church to compare. Looking at what they were doing, he was reading the solution. He was warning them with the church in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the local church is as important as anything. Hallelujah. It's very important. Very important. Hallelujah. Because that is how God is going to reach the earth. Jesus did not just say, I'll build my church and stop. Hallelujah. And he gets up, and not just I'll build my church. Because it's with that, with what has happened to us in Christ, we now have a family physically. We will gather together.
Hallelujah.
It's called the local church. That is why the apostles were strong about the local church. They were strong about it. Hallelujah. I love what Kenneth Hagin said. I heard this from Pastor Shega. I didn't hear it directly from Kenneth Hagin. I heard it from Pastor Shega. He said, Kenneth Hagin will say, yes, but Father, he said, what does the Spirit of God want to do in our world today? They want to build a local church. Hallelujah. A strong local church. Hallelujah. So that's how God reaches the earth. Two strong local churches. Hallelujah. Two strong local churches. That is how God reaches the whole earth. Hallelujah. So that God reaches the whole earth. Two strong local churches. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means local church is God's dream for the earth. The man who goes to the local church, who plays around with the local church, is a man who is playing around with God's plan, with God's vision for the earth. I like to put it like this, vision one. That is God's number one vision. The local church in all the earth. Hallelujah. I hope one day to just have a series, vision one. Amen. Vision one. It's God's number one vision for the whole earth. God's number one vision, the local church in all the earth. The local church in all the earth. God wants to do it. God wants to have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strong local churches. Where the word of God is given first place. First place. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at that church. We're going to see. Remember I showed us that Moses will write the book of Genesis to an Exodus audience. So can we put it like this? Moses will write the book of Genesis to the church in the wilderness. Right? Not a nice Exodus audience. He writes it to a wilderness audience. Write it to the church. Why? Because God wants men to know him. So that means the only place I can know God, the only place God can be known. I want you to hear me now. If you are not listening, look up everybody. Look up everybody. The only place God can be known is in the local church. You're going to see reasons with me shortly as we get into this teaching. Hallelujah. I believe I'm still doing introduction. Amen. The only place God can be known. You say, no, I've been knowing God personally. You are not knowing God. At all. At all. The only place God can be known is in a local church. Strong local church. Hallelujah. That is how God has designed to be known to men. Can men read the Bible and understand? Yes. But you don't still know God. You can't know God on your own terms. You have to know God on God's terms. And God's terms is in the local church. You're going to see the reason for it. We're talking about spiritual growth. Can a believer grow outside the local church? Emphatically, no. You cannot grow outside the local church. You can't grow spiritual outside the local church. I'm telling this to you by experience and by knowledge of the scriptures. You can't go outside the local church. You can't. And I beat my chest to say, you can't. That's why you have to be careful of people who want to have their local church online. It's no longer local church, it's now online church. The Bible didn't talk about online church, talk about local churches. Gathering. You can't gather online. Gathering. Hallelujah. Technology can change everything, but it can't change how God wants us to see. Hallelujah. Technology can change almost everything, but not how God wants to be known. God wants to be known in gatherings like this. Hallelujah. What are following me? What are hearing me? So therefore, it's very right. It's very good. It's of necessity that a believer honor the gathering of believers. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I don't want to go further. Amen. So that's how God wants us to know him. In the local church. Strong local churches. Is God's instruction. Is God's number one vision. Is God's vision one. Amen. So next time we'll begin to look at what do we have obtainable in the local church. Why the local church? Right? Why the local church? What do we have in the local church? What can be done in the local church? they will begin to dive into, little by little, into spiritual growth. How can it be found? What really is spiritual growth? The spiritual growth knowing everything, or spiritual growth somewhere? We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you learned something today? Let's be on our face as we thank God.